Now, the U.S. Department of Labor released its latest jobs numbers last week. They blew past what many economists were expecting. The U.S. added nearly 467,000 jobs in January, a figure that's seasonally adjusted. The jump in hiring happened despite surging Omicron cases last month that caused widespread disruptions for businesses and employees. We're taking a closer look at what the numbers tell us about the state of the economic recovery, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you recently started a new job? Have you recently left a job? Or both? Why was now the right time to make that decision, if so? If you're an employer or a business owner, has it been easier to hire workers, or are you still struggling to fill those open spots? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Janelle Marte covers the economy and the Federal Reserve for Reuters. Janelle, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, better than expected is what people are saying about these numbers. First of all, why were expectations for a lower, maybe a gloomier job report last month?
Well, Rob, you already mentioned Omicron, and that was the big factor that was expected to at least put a damper on hiring. And some economists were expecting that we might even have a contraction in the labor market because of what we've been hearing from businesses that have had to cancel events, people having to stay home at times if their child's schools were temporarily closed or their daycare was closed. And the expectation was that this was going to at least slow down hiring. But instead, we saw, like you mentioned, very strong numbers. Businesses kept adding to their staff, and there were fewer layoffs than we typically see at this time of the year.
And it wasn't just January. The numbers for November and December, which had been a little ho-hum, they were revised upwards, so they look pretty good, too. Now, these monthly reports, this is just one indicator. This isn't the whole story. But with those 3 months in mind, what does this say about the job market now?
I think it's showing that we had much steadier job growth over the course of the year last year than we initially thought. And that's just part of how this data works. You know, it's based on surveys and over time, and every year at this time of year, they do revisions with more information. And so what we learned is that the job growth over the course of last year was steadier than we initially anticipated. And this just supports the picture that the labor market is getting stronger and that we are seeing more people get back to work.
There's this other indicator called the labor force participation rate, which means basically, as I understand it, people of working age and the percentage of them that are actually working versus not working for whatever reason or not seeking employment. That's still a little bit lower than it was before the pandemic. It's been inching up. What are you watching for there?
Good point. So this is a metric that economists like to watch closely because it does show what share of the population is working or looking for work. And when we're looking at things like full employment, this concept that anyone who wants a job can get a job, if the labor force participation rate is not quite back to where it was before the pandemic or taking longer to come back, that could be an indication that people are either getting discouraged or for whatever reason not able to get work or feel like they can't work right now. And so I think that's where people are starting to anticipate, well, okay, what is causing that participation rate to recover a little bit more slowly? And there are some economists that say that it's partly because of the pandemic. So I mentioned some of the challenges with childcare being less available in many parts of the country. And we're also seeing an increase in retirement, or rather an increase, or rather it's more of a decrease in people coming back to work from retirement because of the pandemic in part. And so people are watching this number to see the workers who have left the labor force, will they come back? And maybe can we really say we're near full employment, you know, until that happens? And it's part of the ongoing debate that's happening right now.
We are talking about the latest jobs numbers with Janelle Marte with Reuters. She covers the economy and the Federal Reserve there. You can join in at 800-642-1234 Are we talking about you? Did you retire maybe earlier than planned? Are you thinking about coming back to work or not? Did you just get a job, just change jobs, just leave a job? And if you are someone who hires people, what are things like for you right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Janelle, I just asked people if they're part of what some people have called a great resignation or quitting. You use the phrase in one of your pieces, a great reshuffling, when you look at the labor market. What do you mean by that?
So the great resignation has come about because people are quitting their jobs at near record rates. So last year, an average of 4 million people quit their job every month. And that is staggering. We haven't, you know, this level of quits is not, like I said, it's near record rates. So what's happening, though, is that a lot of people are taking a moment. They're seeing what's going on with the economy. They're seeing that job openings are also near record rates. Last month we had, as of December, there were 10.9 million job openings. So for people who are working, who are able to work, that means that they have more options than they have in the past. So some of this is just related to what economists call cyclical, right? We're at a moment now where the labor market is growing, is improving, companies are hiring. And so for people who have a job or are thinking about doing something different, that presents them with more opportunities, more options, and workers are taking advantage of that. And so that's what we're seeing. I called it a great reshuffling because it's more of people switching jobs. Hires are greater. The number of hires happening every month is greater than the number of people who are quitting. So that would suggest that most people who are quitting are doing so for another job. Hopefully you would think it's for a better job, right? You hear a lot of people talking about flexibility, work from home. They're taking the moment to say, okay, well, hey, there aren't that many people willing to step up right now, they're asking for more money. They're asking for better pay, bonuses. But it's not always people switching for a positive reason. You could imagine that there are also people who are quitting because they have to, because the circumstances related to the pandemic have changed. And so they're stepping away and then coming back when they're able to work again.
I've seen some people make a case that that's part of the story with job numbers not going down during the Omicron surge. Employers saying, yeah, maybe even with this surge, my business is going down right now, but I'm in this desperate competition to hire people. I can't stop hiring people. I'll bank them for the future. Do you think that's part of the story?
That is part of what's going on. So we have seen that businesses, so typically, you know, a lot of businesses will boost their hiring for the holiday season, and then they will let people go around January. What's going on is because of the staffing shortages that a lot of companies are facing, they're holding on to those workers a little bit longer and saying, hey, we got you in, it's going well, why we're going to keep you as long as we can. And so that is also contributing to the stronger employment growth that we saw in January. Because of technical reasons, you know, the labor market numbers are adjusted. And so if we don't have as many layoffs as usual, then that can boost hiring.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Deb is with us in Appleton. Hi, Deb.
Hi. Good afternoon.
What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm recently retired myself, but I have friends who are approaching retirement age or who are at retirement age who were not planning on retiring as soon as they are, you know, this year, last year, next year, but are now planning to retire. And the biggest cause of the fact that they want to now retire early is because of the stress levels that their jobs are causing them. And that's directly related to COVID because of shortage in staffing, because of higher expectations from employers, because of some of those shortages, or because of extended hours that people are having to work. There's just been a lot of stress related to work issues. I'm from the education field myself, and teachers, for one, are stressed because they have kids online and they have kids in the classroom, and they have to make sure that kids are following the rules about all of the COVID protocols, and they have just so much more on their plates than they did. I mean, teachers have always had a lot on their plates, but even than they did, you know, 3 years ago.
Deb, thank you so much for sharing your story and that of your friends, Janelle. A lot of people just feeling more stress, maybe driving them out of a job or out of the workplace.
That's absolutely true. I've looked at this a little bit in, for instance, the childcare industry. So that's an industry where the work is typically low paid and very demanding. So as the caller mentioned, you can have situations where people are saying, hey, I'm not getting paid enough to put up with this stress. And as well, because of the fact that their colleagues might be quitting, then they have to put in longer hours. And it's making it difficult, especially at a time when there are other industries that are better able to increase pay. So you might say, hey, you know, I know I talked to some people who were seeing offers for jobs that they would consider to be less stressful, maybe not as rewarding if you're someone who's really passionate about that field, like in education, or passionate about childcare. But you could say, hey, I won't have to deal with as much responsibility and I'll be paid more. So what's going on is that some industries are facing increased competition from other industries that they typically are not used to competing with, and it's making it especially hard for them to fill their open positions. And it's toughest on the ones like in again, childcare is a good example where it's difficult to raise pay because of the way that it is, that pay is structured in that industry, meaning that it's based off of what the client, aka the parent, is willing or able to pay. And so as we all know, childcare is already very expensive in this country. And so there's just this tension here of how can they adjust the structure of the program to make it so that it's, you know, more affordable, but also they can better retain the employees and the high qualified employees that they need. And that this is happening in a lot of different industries to different extents.
Deb, thanks for the call. We're talking to Janelle Marte. She covers the economy and Federal Reserve for Reuters with us today to talk about better than expected hiring numbers in January, plus December and November. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you changed jobs? Are you considering changing jobs? Have you left the workforce, or are you thinking about it? Or are you thinking about coming back in to the workforce? Are you hiring people or trying to hire people? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our look at hiring in the United States and why the latest jobs numbers beat expectations. Janelle Marte with Reuters stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences in the job market as an employee or employer. 800-642 is the number. 800-642-1234. Need all those numbers in there. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Janelle, I want to get into the other half of your beat. Now, the Federal Reserve, there's concern about inflation, of course, going on with these jobs numbers too. And some people have said, and I think you may have even mentioned something like this, Janelle, in your work, that hot, good-looking jobs numbers may free the Fed's hand to try to deal with inflation. Can you connect the dots?
So the Federal Reserve has a dual mandate. And so that means that it has a responsibility or a mandate to not only promote job growth and aim for maximum employment, but also to keep prices steady. And so it's two parts of its mandate that can sometimes face a little bit of tension. in the sense of, well, we're in a moment right now where 2.9 million Americans are still out of work when compared to before the pandemic. But inflation is at the highest level that it's been in about four decades. So the Fed needs to control that, you know, keep a focus on the second part of that mandate now, which is becoming more urgent. So what this jobs report does is it provides more evidence to suggest that the labor market is in a strong place. So the Fed can then continue with its plan, the plan that it's, you know, signaling to markets that it's putting into place of removing some of the support that it provided during the pandemic, right? So its officials have been saying for a few months now that the economy does not need the same kind of support. We're almost now with the 4% unemployment rate, we're approaching the unemployment level seen before the pandemic. And again, with inflation being so high, they definitely want to move toward removing that support to minimize the risk that they could fuel for further price increases and to perhaps even slow demand a little bit so that that can ease off of some of the pressure that is leading to those higher prices.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us on his way into Appleton. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up?
My question is that when I retired, we all had to wait till we were 65 to be able to have insurance on Social Security. But now, because other insurance was so expensive or even not available, now with the Affordable Care Act, if I quit my $50,000 a year job at 60 and retire and maybe take a part-time, or maybe I've got some money in my IRA I can take out some of, I can get insurance on the Affordable Care Act. Do we have any data on whether that's a few thousand people or a few million people that are able to do that or are doing that now?
Tom, interesting. I haven't seen anything about that, Janelle. Have you run into that?
I think it's something that I would have to check the numbers on, but certainly you're bringing up a good point, which is that flexibility to purchase insurance if you're able to get a more affordable plan is probably playing a role. You also have to think about, you know, you mentioned retirement savings. The unique thing, given though, I know we've had some weakness recently in the stock market, but if you think about it, there's been quite a run up in the stock market during the pandemic. So that's another thing that might be helping people who are in retirement or near retirement age, is to say, okay, my portfolio is doing decently well. I can afford to step back from the labor market or can afford to stay in retirement versus coming back to work.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call. The hope, the case numbers for Omicron seem to be going down pretty steadily. The hospitalization and death numbers, we hope, of course, will follow that. What kind of things are people watching for in the economy as, fingers crossed, Omicron doesn't loom so large?
So we'll be watching for, obviously, you mentioned case numbers. And, you know, there's a lot of high frequency data that economists watch now. And that can include mobility numbers. So that, like, that's taking cell phone data and seeing how, you know, are people moving around, leaving, traveling, doing things like that. We also have some, you know, unemployment claims that are looked at every week, consumer credit card spending data. These are just figures that we can keep an eye on to get a better sense of how the economy is reacting to the virus and to other shifts going on right now.
And I should ask, people are getting hired. People are apparently having the flexibility or willingness to change jobs. Is that reflected in wage numbers? Is this driving up wages on average for American workers?
Well, good point there. The wage growth is definitely a metric that's being kept an eye on. You have to consider, because of the high quits rate and the labor shortage, we're seeing wages go up especially for those jobs in the low end. Think about retail, or in some cases restaurant jobs and things like that, where pay is coming up, and it's even coming up on the high end. I know we've had a few stories recently about some more, you could call tech jobs or professional jobs, where the pay is increasing. We're hearing a lot about that on Wall Street for sure. So definitely wages are coming up, and it's something to keep an eye on. And, you know, there are people wondering, well, how long will that continue? And if we start to see some of these restraints ease over time, will that then kind of cause workers to lose some of the leverage that they've gained? And we'll have to keep an eye on and see.
In just our last 30 seconds, Janelle, what do you have your eye on in particular?
Well, I am going to be watching for more information on how that recovery looks like by gender and race. So we've had some strong gains, but the Black unemployment rate is still much higher than the white unemployment rate, about two times as much. And we're seeing that Black women have had a slower, have more ground to cover. So I'm going to keep an eye on those things to see how the labor market heals from now on.
Janelle, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's Janelle Marte. She covers the economy and the Federal Reserve for Reuters. She was with us today to talk about why the January jobs report showed stronger hiring than previously expected. Still time for you to share your story. If you've switched jobs lately, email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.